Good morning. I'm so excited to be here with you. Happy Sabbath. Oh, there you all are. I want to start with a scripture reading this morning. It's one of my favorite verses. By the way, that is my favorite song. And I had to stop myself from singing because I've been losing my voice all week, and I just wanted to sing my heart out with it. God is enough. What a blessing is that. We're going to start with James 1:5, and this is the New Living Translation, and this is what it says. I'm in the middle of it. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What a blessing it is to be able to ask God anything that we need, and he won't rebuke us. Our questions can be open to him. Let's start with prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for all of the blessings that you have given. I want to thank you for the promise that we can come to you and that you are enough. Oh, Father, how wonderful that is. Please be with us now. And Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will only bring glory to you. Be present with us, Father. Be present, we pray, in your name. Amen. So if you came here looking for answers this morning, I am so sorry. You're going to end with more questions than answers when all is said and done, because today we're going to be talking about that specific thing, questions. Now, I need to be very honest, full disclosure, I am a total and complete nerd. I come by it and I claim it well. I'm proud to be it. I like to quote movies at inappropriate moments and see if people know what I'm doing. Often they don't, but it's a fun thing that I like to do. In fact, I don't know if you had the opportunity to know Pastor Tim Nichols, but we were sitting in staff meeting one time, and I'm, you know, quoting movies, and nobody's saying anything, nobody's acknowledging, nobody's even acknowledging that it might be something out of the normal to say at that particular time. And I looked over, and Tim's just kind of got a smirk on his face. Now, Tim was your button-down pastor. He was the pastor. When you looked at him, he was the epitome of who a pastor should be. But I got to know him on a really personal level. And after staff meeting, he came up to me and he goes, I know what you're doing. And I said, okay, what am I doing? And he goes, I got you. I got all your quotes. I know what they are. So time goes along. Pastor Tim gets really ill. And it's just a few days before he dies. And I had the privilege of going over and talking to him. And I'm sitting there. He's laying on a bed in their house. And I'm holding his hand. And I said, Tim, I said, I just want you to know how much I appreciate everything that you have poured in me coming in as a new pastor on the staff. I want to thank you for your generosity towards training me and mentoring me. And I want you to know that I love you. And he had his eyes closed. He's laying there and he goes, I know. I said, did you just Star Wars me? Did you just Han Solo me? Still eyes closed, and just one corner of his mouth just kind of quirked up like that. That was my last conversation with him, and doggone if he didn't beat me at a quote. The other part of nerddom, as some of you know who are also nerds, is that if something comes up that makes me curious, I want to read all about it. I want to search all about it. I want to find all the books that I can find about it. And I go into this deep nerd dive of information. Well, you're going to get a nerd dump today, so be aware. You're going to leave with more questions than you came with. One of the things that I've learned in my occupation, and a lot of you in your occupation know this, and please, I have no illusions that I'm sharing new information with you. I'm assuming that this is kind of revision for many of us, but bear with me. There are different kinds of questions. How many of you know that? Different kinds of questions. Yeah? Okay. So we're going to start with one that gets used a lot, and it's called a closed question. A closed question is a yes or no question. These are important. You know, if you're in an emergency situation and the EMT is there and they're saying, may I work on you? You want to be able to say yes. You don't want to have a big conversation and get into the philosophy of this. You want to get it done. An example of a not really good closed question is when your husband or your children come home from school or you come home from work and your family says to you, did you have a good day? It's a yes or no question. And sometimes you might get a yes, sometimes you might get a no, and sometimes that might be all you get. Where a far better question to ask would be, how did your day go? That opens up for conversation, so now you don't have to be the one that's really digging and being the nosy person in the situation. So the next question that's really good and much better is that exact example, and that's called an open-ended question. And your open-ended questions are who, what, when, why, where, and how. An open-ended question will give you knowledge. It will give you a pulse on what's going on. But an even better question is the probing question. Now, the probing question provides knowledge and context and details. I don't know if you're familiar with Nick Vujicic, but he is a motivational speaker who has overcome some pretty major obstacles in life. And he said that he and his wife ask each other three questions every month. And the first one is, what am I doing that you want me to stop doing? The second one is, what am I doing that you want me to continue doing? And the third one is, what am I doing well that you want me to keep on doing? What am I doing you want me to stop? What am I doing you want me to start? And what am I doing well that you want me to continue? And I listened to those and I thought, those are great questions to ask your spouse. They're phenomenal questions to ask God. What if the end of every month we asked God, sat down with him and said, God, what am I doing that you want me to stop doing? What am I doing that you want me to start doing? And what am I doing well that you want me to continue? Kind of an interesting concept and way. When my dad was alive, Pastor Steve used to come over. And every time that he would come over, he and my dad had a tradition. It was called the question of the day. And the first person to say, what's your question for the day? The other person was the one that got to pose their question. Now, these questions were philosophy, they were historical, they might be political, they might be theological, but they were always questions that led to a great discussion and a great understanding of who the other person was. And we all would take turns answering the question when it came along. There is a therapist that I follow. His name is John Gottman. And Dr. Gottman has created a series of questions that you can ask each other. In fact, it's a free app. If you go on your phones and look up Gottman Cards, G-O-T-T-M-A-N, Cards, you can download this app. And when you're driving in the car with your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whomever, maybe even you want to ask them to your children sometimes, you can pull these questions up and ask them. It's called love mapping. And love mapping sets the foundation for any good relationship. Steve and my dad were love mapping and they didn't even know it. The other question type I want to talk about is one that is not my favorite, and it's called a leading question. And I'm going to give you an example. One example is, don't you think this policy is a bad deal? In other words, a leading question automatically takes the person that you're being asked to a specific conclusion that fits your agenda. Now, I ask my husband a leading question all the time, but it goes the other way for me. Whenever I'm up front and I speak or I do anything that is visible, at the end, I'll go to him and I'll say, did I do okay? And he'll look at me and go, you did okay. Now, that's not what I want. That's not what I want to hear. I don't want to know, did I do okay? I want to know, what did I do good? What should I have done better? I want to know all those things. And he'll just sit there with kind of a, you know, non-plus expression on his face, and I'll say, wait, is that all I did was okay? He said, no, that's all you asked me. So I reframe my question. It's the right thing to do. I reframe my question and come back and say it a different way, and then I get a better understanding of exactly what happened. So questions give us context, they give us details, and they give us knowledge, but only if we ask in the right way. Well, here's a really interesting little thing, little nerdy thing I learned, is that there is a term called instinctive elaboration. Instinctive elaboration basically means that your brain gets hijacked by a question. So anytime anyone asks you a question, your brain can only do one thing at a time. It focuses in on that question to answer it, and it answers it as best it can. Now, how many of you have sent a text message or asked a question like, hey, do you want to go out to eat? What do you want? Where do you want to go? How far away do you want to go? Do you want Mexican? Do you want Italian? Do you want subs? And you send the text, and the person will answer the last question, because every question that you ask gets hijacked by the next question that you ask. Multiple questions will lead to a confusion when it comes to getting the point of what you want. So being sure that we ask those questions correctly is really, really important. All right, we're going to go a little deeper into nerddom. I want to talk for a minute about the physiology of a question and what happens when you ask one. When you ask a question, it hits your brain. It goes to the frontal lobe, to the front part here in your forehead, and that part of the brain then stimulates it and says, hey, we need to do something. It relaxes a little bit and lets the brain do what it does. The first thing happens is that it goes to the hypothalamus. Now, serotonin is released. Many of you have heard that term. Serotonin helps the brain relax so we can take in information. It leads us to the point that we can come to conclusions and come up with an answer. Once serotonin is released, then the pituitary gland is told by the hypothalamus, are you following me so far? It's told, okay, we're going to release cortisol. Cortisol has a little bit of, it's released when we're in stressful situations. Those of us that deal with generalized anxiety have high levels of cortisol. That's just a common fact. So the cortisol is released, and the cortisol stimulates you so that you can face a challenging question and answer it correctly. But what about a more challenging or stressful question, like, will you marry me? That's when adrenaline comes into the situation, and adrenaline is released because it works on the urgency of answering an important or anxious question. Here's the fun part. It doesn't end there. If it ended there, we'd all be a nervous wreck, and we'd never ask another question. But dopamine is released, and dopamine is a hormone that gives you a good feeling, and it is reward for motivation. It gives you positive feedback, so that you can come up with an answer or accept the answer that's being given to you. Now, if you're having this conversation with a loved one or someone that you feel safe with, oxytocin is also released, and this brings you to a really pleasant, safe feeling and an ability to answer a question or to take one on and ask it. So why is this important? God made us so that He wants us to learn. He wants us to grow in knowledge. He wants us to ask Him questions. So He set it up with a rewarding system so that when we have an answer to a question that we have asked, we are pleased and we desire to repeat the situation. Isn't that amazing? God made us to be questioning beings. He made us to ask. And I just think that that's so fascinating. We're not, what do they call them, automatons, that we just go through life. He wants us to explore, to know Him, and to know each other better. I'm reading a book by Brooke Shields, and it's called Brooke Shields is Not Allowed to Get Old. And I don't know, you all are probably too young to really know much about Brooke Shields. She's a bit younger than I am, but her life was filled with controversy, and the book is how she goes through and figures out who she is and the questions that she needs to ask in life to be able to function. And one of the things that was a discussion that she took part in was the fact that the brain will respond to whatever question you ask. If you ask a negative question of yourself, you will get a negative answer because your brain can only answer what you ask. If you ask a positive question about yourself, the brain is going to flip and it's going to give you a positive response. Kind of like GEICO, I don't know if you remember that, garbage in, garbage out. It's kind of like that, a garbage question in, you're going to get a garbage answer out. And I have some examples I want to share with you, and I tried to cull this list down, but honestly, the questions that we ask ourselves can be so negative, and I wanted to spend a little time going over them. So, what if I fail? Maybe a better question to ask would be, what steps can I take towards success? Who will take me seriously? How will I make a difference in the lives of others is a better way to put it. Or, what steps can I take to be more credible? Because if you ask, who will take me seriously, your brain is going to go through and say, well, probably no one. They won't. Why would they? But if you ask it the right way, what steps can I take to be more credible, you've gone from a not so great question to a great question. How about this one? What if I don't have what it takes? Maybe better would be, how can I develop myself? Or what will happen if I do have what it takes? How will I do it all? I get this question a lot. I can't do it all. How will I do it all? A better question might be, what is manageable to do? Or what can I do? What if I make a mistake? What will you miss out on if you don't try? Why bother? How about why not try? What's the best next step? This one's a big one for me. What will others think? How much better to ask, what do I really want? And what if nothing ever changes? Maybe a better question would be, what will I change? It's not just a question of changing the negative to the positive. It's asking a question that leads to growth. Asking a question that encourages it and moves you forward. Those are great questions to ask, really important questions to ask. And God desires us to ask questions of Him. He desires us to ask the right questions of ourselves because He wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be anxious or stagnant or stay where we are. Matthew 7:7-8 says this, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and seeking is a question. Seeking is a question. It's an implied question of where is this? Where do I find this? Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened for you. For anyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So I did a little nerd dive, and I found out that there are approximately 3,300 questions in the Bible, and 235 of them specifically are asking, where is God in this situation? Out of that 235, 10%, the greatest percentage are... Can any of you guess what Bible author might be that person asking questions? I'll tell you. How's that? It's David. David is the question asker, and most of the questions David asks are why. Look at this one, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I stumble or tremble? God says, ask me, ask me. He accepts our respectful questions, but asking God the right questions is important. Let me say one disclaimer about David and his questions. Why questions are very, very good questions, but they can lead us, especially if we're in a negative space, they can lead us to the place of this is not fair. It can lead us to the place of feeling down and depressed. And if you find yourself in those situations, rather than challenging the situation that you're in or questioning why you are there, it's so much better to challenge the questions that you're asking. Does that make sense? Rather than challenging why is this not fair, challenge what questions am I asking that's putting me in this mindset, is putting me in this way of thinking. We have a book club here at the church. It's a ladies' book club. There are 12 members in it, and I will admit we're the older group of the church for sure. But we wanted to read books about strong women. We started out with strong women in the Bible, and then we went to strong women in history, and then we went to strong women of current times. But we picked a book called Maria. It's written by a woman named Eugenia Price, and it is about a woman who lived in St. Augustine in the 1700s, 1760s. And she was one of the first females to become a land baron, or a baroness, I guess you would say. And so after we read the book, we thought, hey, we should go up to St. Augustine and see if we can find the path that Maria walked, see if we can find her house, see if we can see about this person. Because, you know, I've gone to all the monuments because I grew up in Washington, D.C. area. And when you go to the Washington Monument, you know everything you're going to learn there is about George Washington. But at St. Augustine, we had to really dig. And every corner we went around, we would read the placards on the wall. We would look to see what was going on. And we would ask, was Maria here? Was this person a friend of hers? Where did she live? When was she here? How did she get this house? We were asking all of these questions and had this ongoing conversation. And this is a picture. This is Maria's house. It is the oldest house in St. Augustine, and it was the first one that she purchased. She was married to a young man. He died after 2 years, and that's all I'm going to tell you because you might want to read the book. But that's the oldest house in St. Augustine, and it belonged to her. And it was phenomenal to stand outside that house and look at it and think, wow, that woman that we read about, I mean, like, she was here. This is her tree. This tree's probably as old as her house is, over 200 years old. But these are the ladies, you can't see it very well. But we were just amazed at every turn and corner we ran around because we were seeking Maria. We were seeking signs of her and where she had been. One time, I don't know if you know this or not, but my dad was a B-26 pilot, a bomber pilot in World War II. Now, B-26s are hard to come by. They have one down south of here, and my dad had them pull it out on the tarmac so all of the people in his squadron could come look at this plane that most of them had not seen since they were 17 and 18 years old, because that's how old they were when they flew that plane. And all of the wives were standing down, and they made it clear the wives were not allowed to go into the plane, only the men. And I was shocked when Daddy took my hand, excuse me, and he said, come here quick. And he took me up into the cockpit of that plane. And I sat in the co-pilot seat, and he sat in the pilot seat. And as we walked in, he'd say, that's where the navigator sat. That's where the tail gunner sat. This is where we did this. This is where we did that. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at all of these dials, and I'm looking at my dad, and I'm thinking, this is real. This is him. You know, I mean, he was 18 years old, and this is what he did. And so I was kind of pointing at stuff going, what's that? Nothing made any sense to me, and I stopped, and I said, Daddy, what do you want me to know about this situation? What do you want me to know about this plane? And as soon as I asked the right question, boy, it just unfolded in a way that I could understand and appreciate. And I was amazed at the man that I saw and what I learned about who he was. And that got me thinking, and I was reminded when we were in St. Augustine, what if we spent every minute of every day seeking God? Where are you in this day, Father? Where are you? What are you doing? What do you have for me? So I have some questions, and I know you're probably getting full of questions, but bear with me. These are some things that we can say to God. What do you want to say to me? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to get out of the scripture? Who do you want me to be in this situation? Who do you intend me to be? Who do you want me to be in this relationship, Father? Why am I feeling this way? Have you ever thought to ask God that? What do you want me to do, Lord? Where are you? This is my favorite. What about me do you love? Have you ever asked God that? What about me do you love? Philippians 4, 6 to 7, and I'm reading from the Message, and this is what it says. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions, and the definition of petitions is asking for divine assistance. It is a question. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries about into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happened when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Questions are important, but more importantly is asking the right questions and knowing what to say and recognizing that God is desiring you to come to Him and ask. He's saying, please, please, just ask me and I'll answer. But in order to do that, we have to have a longing to seek Him, a longing to know Him. And we have to have the ability to sit and listen, whether that answer comes through scripture, whether it comes through friends that you know, whether it comes through people that are spiritual leaders, but being open and understanding and ready for the Holy Spirit to bring you to a place. God promises that He's enough. He says, I am enough, and I am open for your questions. Go ahead and ask. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are open to all that we bring, that you are willing to answer and not rebuke us for the questions that we ask. And I pray that questions will be on the tip of our tongue all day long, that we will constantly be looking for where are you in this. Thank you, Father, so much. In your name we pray. Amen.